both turned off the second act. For instance, when we wanted to print that special edition to the servicemen and pictures, the cost of engravings was excessive to us. And we third ball, they went to various people around town, including Sid Coles, who was a wonderful friend. He ran a community service, and others in the area, and said, look, we're practically broke. We can't do it, but we want to do it. What do you think? And they covered the cost, extra cost of that, as a pure gift to the town and to the servicemen. And things of that sort. And during the years, of course, many well-known people contributed articles, contributed drawings. Robert Osborne contributed many drawings, some facetious, some very important ones. Various writers in the area contributed odds and ends of things or made comment. And we got the assistance eventually of people who were knowledgeable in music to cover music events like Music Mountain, people who were knowledgeable about theater to relieve Ann of the necessity to go to so many places, and did that in their spare time. They were paid a very, very minimal amount, if any, in many respects. We got people like Maurice Ferrusky to write us a column on books for some time until we had a battle about the Second World War, but we still remained very good friends, and he got tired of writing anyway. And we had book reviewers that we could count on, and we had people contributing to special things. Bart Van Doren contributed poetry every once in a while, and especially for one Christmas cover. And the Christmas cover that I want to mention, because to me, they're absolutely unique in the history of newspaper printing. I've seen many Christmas covers, but they're usually Santa Claus or a Christmas tree in blatant red and black, and no attempt at originality or anything else. Or the big words, Merry Christmas to you all. The dailies don't even bother about doing anything like that. They ignore the holiday. But the weeklies tried to be festive and local about it. We want them one better. And every single Christmas issue had a full-page cover, which was generated either both in our shop and then possibly by with the help of people in the area. Nothing was purchased, nothing was bought elsewhere, and they were unique because everyone was original pertaining to the area. We had young Mr. Blagden, Tom's son, Tom. Alan Blagden, who did a Christmas cover for us, a beautiful painting in which he would otherwise charge somebody a large sum of money for. We had Timmy Foster, who was working for Ann at that time as his assistant editor, who was very artistic, very good, do Christmas covers for us, which I forget which, it had sort of a topographical simulation of the whole area with all the rivers and all the bridges and everything else, beautifully done. And we had our photographers do special effect types of things. We had Marianne van Rossen, Hogan Dyke, Donna Sharon do a couple of covers. And Mark Van Doren, as I say, contributed to a tricky little set of covers and one with illustrations and poems and everything in the front. And the people who were able to create in the area were most helpful all down the line, all the years, but particularly in these Christmas covers. And sometime, someday, somebody's going to resurrect those and get them in a presentable shape where they can be displayed or something. Because I have in my file little negatives, slide negatives of them. But whether or not they could be blown up and reproduced, I'm a little doubtful, you see, because otherwise they were in frame form, and they were all framed at one time, and what Bob Estabrook has done with them, I don't know, you see. But I personally think I'd make a wonderful local exhibit sometime. Incidentally, way back years ago, there was a special kind of a setup down in the high school gymnasium, sort of an arts and crafts show or something like that. And we put on a special exhibit of that there, which was quite novel too. We had a big booth and had it all rigged up with graphs and charts of our growth, what we did, what we covered, and had pictures all over. I was rather pleased at that. The only one attempt at publicity to advertise ourselves we ever did, I think. That was very soon on.
Well, you did receive recognition for a good many of these things.
We did receive recognition.
Many awards?
Yeah, we became early members of the Connecticut Editorial Association, and then later members of a new New England Editorial Association, and also a going concern of a weekly newspapers called the National Editorial Association. And that was different from the daily newspaper, big association newspaper, but it served a good function. And we attended meetings of all three at one time or another, mainly the Connecticut. And each organization gave a prizes out for different things, excellence of different things about newspaper publishing, including all-around excellent, front page, best makeup, the best layout of advertising, the best editorial, and 10 different categories. We were quite pleased because we wound up at actual count as well, a fair number over 100 in all three, Nashville, regional, and Connecticut, the prizes of many, many categories, and a couple of national ones were quite good, especially one I remember was we competed in a special edition award, which was no holds barred, for instance. In other words, you had to do a good job in a special edition that made sense to your area. And I found we spent about 2 weeks getting, we didn't spend 2 weeks, we spent about 10 days from Thursday getting ready to thinking about, and then getting, organizing, getting pictures, and special pictures, special articles and things. And then we spent a hectic 7 days after one paper was out, getting everybody in the shop to work like dogs to set all this special stuff, special edition, entirely separate from the newspaper and the regular news. It was sort of a historical resume of the area and the town, with photographs, with drawings, with tricky advertising, which were done in an old-fashioned way, and we dug up all our old-style type, which meant much longer hours of work because it was all done by hand. We wound up, and then we had a supplement to the supplement, so to speak, and then we had another supplement to that, a little history of the Lakeville Journal itself. With pictures. We wound up with the equivalent of 54 of the regular journal pages at once, and that was far more than we ever attempted at any time, you see. And I sent that on to the national contest, and I found out later, after viewing some of the exhibits, that some of these outfits with much better equipment, more manpower and everything else, and bigger circulation, had turned out 200-page things. But ours was so novel, so unusual, and we got, I forget, second or third prize in the national thing on that score. There's a big cup hanging around that's disappeared now. I don't know where it is. I think Bob's got it somewhere. But we did get 100 prizes, and that was nice, and we got a very nice send-off when we finally decided after 31 years, getting along and years ourselves, and really being somewhat worn out, and because the whole method of printing had changed, and we were feeling like old fogies at the time, really, literally, knowing that a lot of money had to be put into the journal to bring it up to snuff under modern day techniques. So we finally sold out.
What year was that?
Well, it was 71. We agreed on it just about this time in 70, and we sold out. We agreed to stay on with Bob Estabrook for 6 months while he took over and learned the ropes, because Bob is a very excellent newspaper man, but he did not know any of the mechanical end of it. He did not know any of the printing end of it, the job printing end of anything else, you see. He just knew the editorial end. But he's very good, very smart, he's got a good organization. He's grown. But we were glad to bail out, frankly. My wife had certainly deserved it and earned a rest, and I was ready to not try to think about doing a good job for the public because a bad job of being criticized. Somebody gave us a good send-off at White Hart Inn. I don't remember who did it. Do you?
I don't recall how it was.
But it was
organized.
Very nice, and there's a plaque hanging around, thanks to somebody.
Well, it was a very rewarding career for you and Ann, wasn't it?
Yes, because
I don't imagine you would have had it any other way.
Not now, because in the meanwhile, of course, my two daughters grew up here. This they regard as their hometown. They weren't born here, and they didn't go to school all the time here. They went to Indian Mountain and the local grade school and the high school, but only hither and yon, and they got off on tangents. And then they got married and have not lived here, but they still regard this as their hometown. And it was a gorgeous place to bring up children. It was wonderful for me. You know, my only regret is I didn't have enough time to enjoy the out of doors, the tennis, and skiing and so forth, which I loved. Oh, even to play on Kent Fulton's 9-hole golf course. I never did that, although I covered the events. Kent deserves an accolade of keeping the people together in the 30s, you know.
I understand.
He provided jobs for him. He's wonderful. But whether or not anybody 10 years from now is going to remember Hoskins, I don't know, because they probably Bob Estabrook's name will take precedence at that time. But I thank you all, and I regret that my charming wife is no longer with us. We did have 10 years of being able to enjoy ourselves without worry, but those 10 years were sort of disrupted by various illnesses, which I regret, but I'm sure we could not otherwise have had as happy a 10 years. And it was all by accident, because I was doing terribly in New York City. I was not keeping my family alive, and I was not earning a living, and I took this as a last resort, and it was a last resort because it lasted. So I'm very pleased, and I want to thank you all.
Well, thank you, Stuart. You certainly made your imprint on the journal, and the journal has made its imprint on this community. I just want to add that I think my experience with the journal, both as a reader and a co-worker at various times, that it was a very, very, very pleasant place to work.
You say that in here.
And that you made the paper, you know, a real community asset.
I didn't want to thank you for art. It got all over. I didn't mention the fact that we once got down to Patagonia or somewhere, and all over Europe, by subscribers. But,
well,
yesterday when he was down in South America, I think.
So thank you very much, Stuart.
Oh, you still got that on?
Right.